Good morning. Love is a word with many different definitions. And it's based off what people think or what their definition of love is. If you ask different people what they think love is, you'll get many different interpretations. But it's one of the most misunderstood words. True love is something no one really knows. And it really depends on who you ask. If you ask Christians, they will tell you what godly love is. If you ask the world, they will tell you what worldly love is. So which side do you choose? Well, we know that godly love versus worldly love, we know there's no similarities. We know which one is better. But many do not understand because many still choose to love the world and the things in the world. If they truly tasted God's love, I think many would choose godly love over worldly love. There are so many benefits to godly love, more than there is to worldly love. And so when we look today, we must understand what worldly love is all about. And so when we look at Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." So what we have here, worldly love is self-seeking. When you look at the world and the people in the world, they are self-seeking. They are going after the things that they desire. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. And we see that through many in the world, how they act and what they really care for or who they care for. Self-seeking, those who are looking for things that will benefit them and not others. They could care less what happens to others. They could care less what happens to people, what they go through, what they are going through. I don't know, and I'm sure everyone here has watched A Christmas Carol, right? Everyone has watched it. It's a famous, famous movie, or if you watch the play, they do put on plays. But it's one of my favorites, and I watched the version with George C. Scott, I think is his name. He also played Patton in the movie Patton. But I love that Christmas Carol. He does a real good job as Scrooge. But when we look at Scrooge, he has a love that is worldly because all he cares about is wealth, money. What can I do to become richer? And everyone around him, he could care less about. It's all about him, what he can gain. But we see throughout the movie that attitude, it changes. And he finally wakes up to the idea of, I need to be more caring. I need to be more loving. I got to help people. And we see at the end of the movie, he changes. It's a complete 180. He changes his life around. It is no longer about me and what I want. It's about others and helping others. And of course, the Christmas spirit, right? The Christmas spirit is about a season of giving. Yet, when January hits, that season of giving goes out the door. Worldly love, once again, is all about what they want. And we see this in the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 1. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men, that they make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Here's the Pharisees who have worldly love. Who's it about? It's not about God, most importantly. That's the most important thing. It's all about God. When we come to worship, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. But when they go to synagogues, they seek the best seats in the house, which we have some seats up front here. Those are the best seats, right? Nobody sits. But once again, this is who they are. It's all about me. They make their phylacteries broad. They enlarge the borders of their garments. They wear the fanciest clothes. They want to be seen by men. They want to be glorified by men. This is who the Pharisees are. It's all about them. They place on men's shoulders these traditions, laws that they can't keep. They put this burden on men, and they themselves as Pharisees can't even bear them. They won't do anything to help others. This is worldly love, once again, all about self. And people can be deceiving. They can act like they care about you. But then when they turn their back to you, they could care less. They're seeking a way for your relationship to benefit them. They could care less what happens to you. Worldly love, snakes in the grass. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Worldly love is a liar. It's a lie. Big, fat lie. Like I said, people will tell you to your face, "I love you, I care about you." But then they turn their backs and talk bad about you. Find ways to deceive you to benefit themselves. They lie. And these same people who proclaim with their lips, "I love you, God," but continue to walk in darkness, is that godly love? Is that true love for our Lord and Savior, for our Father who is in heaven? No, it's a lie. And many do that. Many will profess with their lips they love God, but they continue living their sinful lifestyle. They continue walking in darkness. That's not love. That's not true love. Because for husbands, if you love your wives, you're not going to go out and cheat on them. You're not going to go out and talk bad about them. You're going to come home. You're going to take care of them. Even outside, when people talk bad about their wives, you're going to talk wonderful things about them. Because you truly love your wives. Wives, the same with your husbands. If you truly love your husbands, you're going to talk great about them. Yes, we understand, both parties understand, we're not perfect. But you truly love them. They are the love of your life. And you're going to show them true love. But many don't. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So we see three things. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what worldly love is. So it comes right back to me, I, what I want, what I desire. Nobody else in your little world exists except you. Guess what? Those things will pass away, and they are. Everything in the world will pass away, in the heavens and the earth. All things will pass away. But guess what will abide? But he who does the will of God will abide forever. We know that once we come to know Christ, one day we will put on immortality. We will be with him for eternity, eternal life. No more death, no more sickness, no more battles with sin. All things will be perfect one day. Once again, with the world, there's no benefits. Worldly love has no benefits. It'll give you temporary pleasures. It will give you temporary satisfaction. But other than that, there's nothing. It's all temporary. And yet, many people pursue worldly love. It's a tragic thing that the world has this idea of what love is, but the reality is it's false. They deceive many into coming into this way of life and saying this is much better, but the reality is it's not. But when we look at godly love, it's way different and it's much better than what worldly love is. When we look at godly love, we go to our main text that was read this morning in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. It's patient. It's kind. Love does not envy. It's not jealous. Love does not parade itself. It's not about I. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love never fails. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. This is the definition of godly love. True love. How many of us have witnessed, have felt worldly love and seen no patience, no kindness? You see it every day. We do see jealousy. We do see worldly love parading itself, people parading themselves. Look at me. Look at who I am. We see them puffed up with pride. Their egos are high in this world. They do think evil. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out from the heart that defiles. We see evil, thinking evil, feeling evil. They do rejoice in sin. I remember a couple of years ago, I saw a video of this lady flaunting the fact that she had 13 abortions. Rejoicing that she had 13 abortions. People parade themselves, celebrating their sexuality. And it's not just the LGBTQ. It's people who flaunt that they have laid with multiple women, multiple men. It's people who flaunt, hey, I told a lie and I got out of trouble. It's, once again, this is worldly love. People who do not care what happens to others. They only care about themselves and how high they can go in this world. Paul's telling the Corinthians here what true godly love is. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. People will take God's word, and they will act like it burdens them so much. I've heard people tell me, I don't want to follow rules. I don't want to follow a book that tells me how I need to live. I want to live the way I want. That's what people want. I've told plenty of people, I could go down the street and tell people they're okay with God, tell them what they want to hear. Oh, they would love that, but the first time that I tell them what they need to hear, they won't like that too much. They look at God's word as a burden. Should we, if we have godly love, we're going to look at his commandments and rejoice. We're going to rejoice in truth. We're going to obey his commandments. We're going to live for him each and every day, because we know that God's word guides and directs us on how we are to live, and it makes life much better, doesn't it? Now, we know we're going to still have struggles. We know we're going to fail from time to time, but at the same time, we know with God and his word, we can find peace, we can find freedom, we can find truth. It's not burdensome, and it never should be. It's not true love. Because when we look at God's love, that he showed the lost, that he showed the world, God sacrificed his only son, John 3, 16 and 17. He didn't want the world. He didn't want us to perish. He wanted us to come to him. Godly love. Sacrificial. Husbands, we sacrifice for our wives, for our families. Wives, we sacrifice for our families. Love is sacrifice. You sacrifice time with whatever you're doing to spend time with your family. You sacrifice time, you sacrifice things, most importantly, hopefully you do, to spend time with God. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. He would go on to say, the second is like it, love your neighbor as thyself. But what we must understand, people will take this text and say, see, you must love us. You must accept us for who we are and what life we live. But that's not true love. That's a love that's deceiving you. When I've in the past had brothers rebuke me because of sin I had in my life, I thank them so much because they had all the love for me to come to me and correct me. That's true love. Think about your children when they do wrong. Do you let them continue or do you correct them, punish them? That's true love, because you don't want to see your kids do wrong and get hurt or possibly die from what they're doing. You punish your kids, you correct them because you love them. You want to show them right from wrong. God has showed love from the very beginning to Israel. Even though they sinned, he would punish them. He would correct them. And they would continue back and forth. But he still loved them. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But we must understand that we must come to him. We must repent and be baptized. Change ourselves. He doesn't accept sin. He doesn't tolerate sin. Yes, he loves you, and he will always love you. But he calls us to change. He calls us to correct our lives, to come to him and to live faithfully, to be obedient to him. He loves us, and we must love him and truly come to him. It's simple, but it's also hard. Because we are human beings. When I look at people who have been incarcerated for violent crimes, I ask myself, how in the world can God love them? But then I'm reminded through Scripture. Even for us who were lost, he still loved us. He still gave us a way, gave us a son who we are not worthy of. And we still received forgiveness, received mercy. And so when I look at these people who have done evil things, we are called to love them, but not to rejoice in what they did wrong. Once again, godly love benefits far more than worldly love. Worldly love does not even come close to what godly love is. And so we are called to show the same love that God showed us. We are called to do what is right, to be obedient, to live for God each and every day. That's true love for our Savior. That's true love for our Father. Because without him, for what he, if he chose not to do, not to send his son down, we'd be lost for eternity. And so this morning, understand, if you're not a Christian, understand that God loves you, absolutely. But that does not mean he accepts you for who you are. He wants you to come to him, to give your life to him, to change, to leave sin and give your life to him. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe the word, John 3:16-17. Then you must repent of your sin. Change one's mind. You have to make that change. You have to come to him. And then you must confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10:10. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3:26, Acts 2:38. That's how we make contact with the blood of Christ. That's how we make contact with the blood of Christ. Our sins are washed away in that moment that we enter into the water and are brought up. And at that point, you are now a child of God. You are a new creation. And it is your mission, should be your mission from that point on, to serve and be obedient to him each and every day, not treating his law as burdensome. And that's what comes into play with remaining faithful, Hebrews 10:23. And I'm not saying it's easy. You ask any Christian here today, it's hard. But is it worth it? They would tell you absolutely. To have the love of God in our life every day, to be faithful and obedient, it's worth every second. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into sin, God still loves you. Absolutely. But he calls you to come forward and to repent and to turn back to him. And so this morning, I pray and hope that if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, I pray that you understand that God loves you and he wants you for himself. He wants you to come to him, to rejoice in truth, and to accept the truth, and to give your life to him this morning. So if there's anybody here this morning who needs any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.